15. Come on, Roland said as soon as Gasher had turned tail. How could you do it? Eddie asked. How could you let that freak have him? Because I had no choice. Bring the wheelchair. We're going to need it. They had reached the concrete on the far side of the gap when an explosion shook the bridge, spraying rubble into the darkening sky. Christ! Eddie said, and turned his white, dismayed face to Roland. Don't worry yet, Roland said calmly. Fellows like Gasher rarely get careless with their high-explosive toys. They reached the toll booths at the end of the bridge. Roland stopped just beyond, at the top of the curving ramp. You knew the guy wasn't just bluffing, didn't you? Eddie said. I mean, you weren't guessing, you knew. He's a walking dead man, and such men don't need to bluff. Roland's voice was calm enough, but there was a deep undertone of bitterness and pain in it. I knew something like this could happen. And if we'd seen the fellow earlier, while we were still beyond the range of his exploding egg, we could have stood him off. But then Jake fell, and he got too close. I imagine he thinks our real reason for bringing a boy in the first place was to pay for safe conduct through the city. Damn! Damn the luck! Roland struck his fist against his leg. Well, let's go get him. Roland shook his head. This is where we split up. We can't take Susanna where the bastard's gone, and we can't leave her alone. But listen and don't argue, not if you want to save Jake. The longer we stand here, the colder his trail gets. Cold trails are hard to follow. You've got your own job to do. If there's another Blaine, and I am sure Jake believes there is, then you and Susanna must find it. There must be a station, or what was once called a cradle, in the far lands. Do you understand? For once, blessedly, Eddie didn't argue. Yeah, we'll find it. What then? Fire a shot every half hour or so. When I get Jake, I'll come. Shots may attract other people as well, Susanna said. Eddie had helped her out of the sling, and she was seated in her chair again. Roland surveyed them coldly. Handle them. Okay. Eddie stuck out his hand, and Roland took it briefly. Find him, Roland. Oh, I'll find him. Just pray to your gods that I find him soon enough. And remember the faces of your fathers, both of you. Susanna nodded. We'll try. Roland turned and ran, light-footed, down the ramp. When he was out of sight, Eddie looked at Susanna and was not very surprised to see she was crying. He felt like crying himself. Half an hour ago, they had been a tight little band of friends. Their comfortable fellowship had been smashed to bits in the space of just a few minutes. Jake abducted, Roland gone after him, even Oi had run away. Eddie had never felt so lonely in his life. I have a feeling we're never going to see either of them again, Susanna said. Of course we will, Eddie said roughly. But he knew what she meant, because he felt the same way. The premonition that their quest was all over before it was fairly begun lay heavy on his heart. In a fight with Attila the Hun, I'd give you 3-2 odds on Roland the Barbarian. Come on, Suze, we've got a train to catch. But where? She asked forlornly. I don't know. Maybe we should just find the nearest wise old elf and ask him, huh? What are you talking about, Edward Dean? Nothing, he said. And because that was so goddamn true he thought he might burst into tears, he grasped the handles of her wheelchair and began to push it down the cracked and glass-littered ramp that led into the City of Lud. XVI. Jake quickly descended into a foggy world where the only landmarks were pain, his throbbing hand, the place on his upper arm where Gasher's fingers dug in like steel pegs, his burning lungs. Before they had gone far, these pains were first joined and then overmatched by a deep burning stitch in his left side. He wondered if Roland was following after them yet. He also wondered how long Oi would be able to live in this world which was so unlike the plains and forest which were all he had known until now. Then Gasher clouted him across the face, bloodying his nose, and thought was lost in a red wash of pain.
Come on here, little bastard, move your sweet cheeks.
Running as fast as I can, Jake gasped,
and just managed to dodge a thick shard of glass which jutted like a long, transparent tooth from the wall of junk to his left.
You better not be, because I'll knock your cold and drag you along by the hair of your head if you are. Now, up, you little bastard!
Jake somehow forced himself to run faster. He'd gone into the alley with the idea that they must shortly re-emerge onto the avenue, but he now reluctantly realized that wasn't going to happen. This was more than an alley. It was a camouflaged and fortified road leading ever deeper into the country of the Greys. The tall, tottery walls which pressed in on them had been built from an exotic array of materials. Cars, which had been partially or completely flattened by the chunks of granite and steel placed on top of them, marble pillars, unknown factory machines which were dull red with rust wherever they weren't still black with grease, a chrome and crystal fish as big as a private plane with one cryptic word of the high speech, delight, carefully incised into its scaly, gleaming side, crisscrossing chains, each link as big as Jake's head, wrapped around mad jumbles of furniture that appeared to balance above them as precariously as circus elephants do on their tiny steel platforms. They came to a place where this lunatic path branched, and Gasher chose the left fork without hesitation. A little further along, three more alleyways, these so narrow they were almost tunnels, spoked off in various directions. This time Gasher chose the right-hand branching. The new path, which seemed to be formed by banks of rotting boxes and huge blocks of old paper, paper that might once have been books or magazines, was too narrow for them to run in side by side. Gasher shoved Jake into the lead and began beating him relentlessly on the back to make him go faster. This is how a steer must feel when it's driven down the chute to the slaughtering pen, Jake thought, and vowed that if he got out of this alive, he would never eat steak again.
Run, my sweet little boy cunt, run!
Jake soon lost all track of the twistings and turnings they made, and as Gasher drove him deeper and deeper into this jumble of torn steel, broken furniture, and cast-off machinery, he began to give up hope of rescue. Not even Roland would be able to find him now. If the gunslinger tried, he would become lost himself and wander the choked paths of this nightmare world until he died.